This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may live upon the earth. We have a continual crisis confronting America, and we have a president who is not willing to do what's necessary to protect our borders and our heritage. We have a situation, ladies and gentlemen, where millions of people are breaking American law, entering this country illegally, contributing mightily to the crime problem, to the problem of the fact that we cannot afford medical insurance. Middle class people cannot afford it, and many working people cannot afford it, because our hospitals are giving away medical care to millions upon millions of non-American citizens who've never paid in a penny of taxes. And, you know, when hospitals do that, when they give massive amounts of free medical care to certain individual minorities, what they are doing is they're upping the care for those hard-working people who try to pay the bills. And that's what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. That is the single greatest cause of our medical crisis in the United States of America. And that's a good example of liberalism, modern liberalism, gone amok. It seems everything has turned around. I have a very interesting email from a family in a school district in the United States of America where their child faces literal terrorism, intimidation, hate on a daily basis from the gangster rappers who dominate his school, where he is a white minority. Ladies and gentlemen, America has changed. The America of our forefathers is not the same country. It's not even the same country that I grew up in just a few short decades ago. Let me read this letter to you from the individual who wrote me just a few minutes ago. One more member of the frustrated American middle class. Dear Dr. Duke, I'm in a situation where I feel that my back is against the wall. My 11-year-old daughter is experiencing racial discrimination at school from students, teachers, principals, and bus drivers. My child is not the only one suffering from these people's stupidity and ignorance. I actually have two children that suffer with the same group of children on the bus. My son goes to another school in the same district. He will be stepping into this school next year, and he's scared to death. I'm not a prejudiced person. I think it's a waste of time and energy. On the other hand, I believe it's time to stand up and say, I'm not going to take this anymore. It's past time. It's out of control. We need to stop it before it gets worse. I've contacted a few attorneys, and no one wants to touch it. They're scared of offending the African-American community. If you know of an attorney that would be willing to take on this monumental task and is not scared to stand up for what is right, would you pass on this email? I would love to hear from someone that is willing to help our children. By the way, I'm not sure how we could do it, but we may be looking at a class action suit. There are quite a few parents that feel this way, but will not speak up. Thank you, Deanna. Well, Deanna, I got to tell you that you are operating under the illusion that we still have a fair court system in the United States of America, whereas our system is anything but fair. You see, the civil rights movement was never really about civil rights of people. It was the most massive denial of civil rights in the history of our great country. Now, that may sound strange to new listeners who are not familiar with my writing, but I can tell you, the Civil Rights Act brought the government into the affairs of individual Americans in a level that we've never seen before. The government suddenly decided to tell you who you could sell your home to or your property to, who you could serve or not serve, who you could do business with. The government told you where your child could go to school and where your child couldn't go to school. The government and the social planners promoted a forced integration, even when it took busing, even when it took sending people far away from the neighborhood schools, which is certainly not in the interest of any child to do so, and put many millions of European American children into conditions of danger and subjection. It boggles the mind, ladies and gentlemen. It just literally boggles the mind to think about the contrast between the days of segregation in the 1950s and middle 60s and the way schools were in the South, for instance, as compared to post-integration education. You see, in the darkest days, as the liberals would say, of segregation, blacks were not in a situation where they faced any sort of physical threat or intimidation in their own schools by white people or any other race. In fact, black schools were oriented toward black needs, and men like James Meredith, who in fact integrated Ole Miss and later came to believe fundamentally in the idea that blacks should have their own schools and have those schools tailored to their needs, and whites should have those same principles. He himself, this icon of the so-called civil rights movement, said that we have had a tremendous failure from integration. That integration has been a disaster for both black and white people. And indeed, it has. Because, again, black people, whatever you say the indignity is of black kids going to school among their own kind, or white children going to school among their own kind, or even separate water fountains, what is that kind of indignity compared to the indignity of violence, assault, murder, intimidation, threats? Since when is it in the interest of the civil rights of millions of white children to be in black, overwhelmingly black schools where gangster rap, which is a very anti-white and, by the way, anti-woman, anti-female type of music, where this dominates, where African-American children are taught that whites have been exploiting them and enslaving them and harming them for so long, and they take out a lot of these angers, these animosities on the white children close at hand. We've seen this again and again and again. And the rate of black crime, whatever reasons that you try to offer, the liberals try to offer for black crime, whether they say it is poverty or whether they say it's broken families or whatever they say it is, it is. It is a rate of crime which is at least 10 times higher than white rates of crime. And the cross-racial crime, in other words, the crime that's committed by one race against another, that's sometimes 20, 30, 40 times higher among blacks against whites than whites against blacks. For instance, it is legitimately 50 to 100 times. Now, we're not talking about 50%, 100%, or even 500%. We're talking about 50 times greater chance of a minority, a black person, raping a white person than a white person raping a minority. That is an amazing fact of life. So when you force integration of education, when you force integration of neighborhoods, you literally put many, many people at risk. And it ends up costing lives. Yes, yes, it ends up costing lives. Why should Deanna's children face intimidation and threat? Why should many white children and others in schools across America sometimes spoil their pants rather than go to the restrooms, which are sometimes places of danger and places of intimidation and beatings and even death? Ladies and gentlemen, we have an incredible situation in our society, and we've got to wake up. I remember, too, we started this conversation talking about the problems of mass immigration. And back in the 1950s and early 60s, the government of the United States, the argument they used to enforce forced integration, which was against overwhelmingly the vast majority of the American people, and I'm talking about 90% probably, the American people did not believe in forced integration or forced busing. But the government's line was, and the line of our controlled media was, that, well, it's the law of the land. The Supreme Court is our legally constituted judicial body. They have decided that segregation is unconstitutional, that we must force the races together. And to enforce this law of the land, that we are even willing to put bayonets at the throats of our children, as indeed they did in Little Rock, Arkansas, and they did at Ole Miss in the state of Mississippi, and so many other areas of the United States of America. So the government was willing to put bayonets against American citizens in pursuit of what they say is the law of the land. And now we have a situation where millions upon millions of individuals are flaunting, breaking the laws of the United States of America, who are not even American citizens. They're crossing the borders illegally. They're not going through customs. They're not going through immigration. Drugs can come in with them. Terrorist supplies can come in with them. Weapons of mass destruction can come in with them. And what does the government do? Does the government act? No. George Bush says he may patrol with some of the National Guard, but they're not going to have any police powers. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we should have had the National Guard and the Mexican-American border 30, 40 years ago. If you remember back, and this is a long time ago, but back in the 1970s, I initiated a border watch. That's right, along the Mexican-American border in California, in Arizona, in Texas. And, again, I guess one more time, I don't want to sound like Rush Limbaugh and, give too many accolades for myself, but one more time, I guess I was ahead of the curve. And ladies and gentlemen, it's insane. We let these people come in, and they're, sapping away the quality of our lives, and they're changing the whole face of America into a nation that will be unrecognizable to our children. We are literally selling out and losing our birthright in the United States of America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I enjoyed being with you today, and we're going to have another program tomorrow. We'll try to get our techniques working a little better. Again, we had some problems in our live broadcast. It was coming through much faster than it's supposed to. Well, anyway, thank you so much, and I will be with you again tomorrow. I'm in the United States now. I'm in my home state, Louisiana. I just returned from New Jersey, where we had a very successful meeting there. I saw Kevin Strom. I saw, Mr. Darcy, Attorney Darcy, who's running for Congress from Alabama. I saw Mr. Pate, many other very, very fine men, Rich Lindstrom. And it was a very, very fine meeting and a good meeting, and I'm glad to say that people enjoyed my talk. I've got lots of talks scheduled over the next few days and weeks and months, and a full schedule as well that's going on in Europe, Eastern Europe. I'm teaching, and I'm doing everything I can. Our magazine is being mailed literally over the next 2 or 3 days, and I look forward to getting your response to the Duke Report, because I think you'll enjoy it. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and get off the air, and I'll be back with you tomorrow, and we'll have this program archived very soon. Thank you very much. Bye.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddukes.com.